Some people ask their CPAs, and I used to be one. Oh, what my CPA? Oh, what is a CPA now? And I was one. For the longest time, what do I know from a P&L statement?
It used to be you could get away with that because everybody would say that, but now there's people who don't say that, and so you're going to get, you just lost the new patient. They're gone.
So first, you're not answering the phone. Second, you're not scheduling. So look at how many leads that marketing has driven into your funnel that are just not even being converted.
Welcome back to another episode of Dental Marketing Theory. I'm your host, Gary Bird. I'm the founder of SMC National, where we help you create, convert, and close more new patients so you can grow the way that you want. And I have Amal here. He doesn't need much of an introduction. If you've been in the dental industry for any amount of time, you've seen him, you've heard of him, you know what he does. He's the CEO of Patient Prism. And today we're going to have a really interesting conversation, a conversation I'm excited to have around marketing, sales, and ops. And Patient Prism lives at the middle of this. My company, I feel like we're in the middle of this all the time. So I'm really excited to talk through this because I think you are framing up the dental industry in a different perspective, Amal. And let's jump into this. Let's talk about what Patient Prism is doing with marketing, sales, and ops.
Yeah, 8 years in the AI business, we learned one thing, is that there is no one way to grow an organization. You know, we were really good at recording calls and figuring out scoring them and getting these dental offices to understand why patients were not scheduling. But then over the course of the last 2 years since the pandemic, we realized that we have to have a holistic focus on growth. And that means that if you're a dental office and you've been at a certain revenue threshold for whatever years, right? And you're trying to grow, let's say 5 to 10%, maybe some of them are trying to grow double digit, you really have to have the right mix of patients that you're seeing. You have to have the right mix of providers. But the right mix of patients that are going to give you, you know, the best example of that is like you're flying Delta Airlines, you need the right fare classes in each, right? You need first class, you need business class, you need executive economy. So you need all sorts of patients in order for you to be profitable. And so part of what we decided to do at Patient Prism was really tackle three pillars of growth. Any business, it doesn't have to be dentistry, it doesn't have to be anything, is the first pillar we feel is market, right? And Patient Prism wanted to kind of understand, is marketing really driving the right type of patients that you want to see in your practice? And then we talk about sales out of those patients.
Hey, happy new year. And thanks so much for listening to the podcast. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I got something really, really important to share with you that's going to bring massive impact to your practice. So every year, things change in your market. Every single year, people move, incomes change, populations change. And it's really important that you stay up to date with that. And one of the things that we offer to all of our customers, and we want to offer it to all of our listeners completely for free, is mapping out your new patients. So we're not going to only show you where your new patients are coming from on a map, just like this above, but we're also going to show you the income areas that they're coming from, the different pockets of income, as well as the populations, to make sure that you have supporting areas to where you can attract more new patients. And lastly, we're going to map out all of your competition for you for free. This is 100% for free, no obligation. And we're really excited to share this with all of our listeners. So all you have to do is go to maps.smcnational.com, and it's first come, first serve. We're not going to offer this forever. So if you want to get this, get in now, get all your new patients mapped out for the new year. We're looking forward to talking to you soon. Thanks. So let's touch on that though, because I think that's a great starting point, is that our marketing company is driving the right kind of patient. So let's define that. What does that mean to get the right kind of patient?
Well, the right type of patient is the type of patient your doctors like to see. You can't tell them what to do. I mean, they're the doctors, they're the producers. So if I'm a doctor and I like to do implants, then that's the patient I want to see. If I like to do orthodontics, then that's the patient I'd like to see. Whatever it is that you desire that gives you fulfillment and you're good at, right? And the whole idea of Jim Collins and what are you best in the world at? What are you most passionate about? And what drives your economic engine? That's where your hedgehog is. And that's where you're going to make the most amount of money. So I don't know what that is. You tell me, what's the type of patient would you like to see? And your marketing company, agency, director, VP, CMO has to be accountable in driving that exact type of patient into your practice.
Yep.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you're spot on. And there's lots of different ways to do this. That's what most people don't realize. Like, as an example, if you're a pedo ortho type organization, you don't have to drive. Marketing doesn't have to drive you new patients for ortho. You can just drive for pedo, which are far cheaper. And then you can mine out ortho opportunities from those pedo opportunities that you captured. And there's tons of different examples of different strategies like that. But you got to figure that part out. I totally agree with that. So now that you say, we know what kind of patient we want. We know what kind of patient we want to attract. We didn't go to marketing to tell us what kind of patient to attract. We went to clinical. What's the next step after that? And how do you think through that?
Well, the next step is, I think, figuring out how to do that. What means are available today to do that? I mean, there is, over the 70s and 80s and 90s, we used a lot of postcards and we used a lot of these ways to get in front of people. How do we get these eyeballs? You know, today, we're almost forced to use digital as a mechanism to drive new patients because, you know, people are on their phones all the time looking for people. Things, dentists, choose, whatever they might be. So what tools are we going to use to drive that? In certain demographics, non-digital might still work if you're, you know, you're 75 and up. But for the most part, today people are online and they're searching for new patients. So that's first, right? Okay, what tools am I going to use? I'm going to use digital tools. What works? We've seen across the board now over 2,000 offices, we've seen Google Ads is a primary tool for driving new patient growth. Social media is great for top of funnel awareness, but Google has still been the predominant way people are driving new patients. Now, as you think about the tool, okay, well, that's great. Well, who's going to help me? Not how am I going to do this, right? I mean, the big thing about Dan Sullivan and growing organizations 10X is who, not how, right? The first question I'm going to ask is that who is going to help me do that? Who is going to help me find these patients? Do I have the resources in my organization to help me find those exact type of patients? If I don't, then who do I look for? And what is it going to cost me to drive that patient in, the type that the one I want? We call them in the SaaS world, we call them customers. In the healthcare world, we call them patients. So what is my patient acquisition cost? And those are the things I need to think about as who is going to help me doing that, not how. Because how is the wrong thing for a clinician to ask. Even for any business owner to ask, how do I do this? I should not be talking about how. I should be talking about who is going to be better than me.
Yeah, you can ask it if you want, right? You can ask that question if you want. You just have to realize that takes 5, 10, 20 times longer than asking who.
Who? Now, who is it? Who is it? Who is the best person in the world that could help me drive the exact type of patient I need in my practice at the best patient acquisition cost? If you don't, Gary, you've been in industry as long as I have. Most people don't even know how to ask that question. No, they're not even asking that question.
Yep.
Who is going to help me drive the exact type of patients I need at the best potential patient acquisition cost? If you ask that question, you're going to find that person who's going to talk that language and is going to drive that. But if we don't ask that question, if we just say, who's going to give me a good website or who's going to just do my marketing? And some people ask their CPAs, and I used to be one. Oh, what my CPA? Oh, I mean, what is a CPA now? And I was one. For the longest time, what do I know from a P&L statement? Oh, marketing should be 2%. That's the wrong metric. There's no such metric. Any amount of money is good money as long as it provides you the ROI that you need, which is return on investment. There's no such thing, 1%, 2%, 3%. It can be 30%. I don't care. As long as I'm getting an ROI, a return, that's all that matters. So that's, I guess, that's the next point. And I'm really passionate about this because I get really frustrated when people say, oh my God, my accountant told me it's only 2% of revenue. Really? What does your accountant know about marketing? Nothing. They're not designed to know anything about marketing.
Yep, I'm totally with you. Okay, so now who's going to help us? So let's say they find the right people. This is somebody who really understands how to scale new patients predictably and get us to an acquisition cost. The clinicians are all bought in. They want this kind of patient. And so then what's the next step after that?
Well, the next step is making sure when those leads come in, We schedule an appointment. I mean, Patient Prism was invented, I mean, discovered, came about 8 years ago to say that every new patient who calls the dental office needs to schedule an appointment. And as we've known across, I mean, for the last 40 years, as far as history goes, only 40, 50% of those patients are actually scheduling an appointment because of, for a variety of reasons. So the first thing, you're spending money, you found out the who's going to do it? They're setting up these marketing campaigns. You're driving these nice leads into the funnel, the marketing funnel we call them. And they call, the patient calls. And then if we don't schedule them, well, that's all
you
a waste.
Wasted your time.
Right?
Yep.
You wasted your time, wasted your money. and wasted all that time.
Or even worse, if you didn't answer the phone when they did call.
Well, that's happening 35% of time today. 35% of calls during business hours are not answered in all of healthcare, not beyond dentistry, during business hours.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that. All of healthcare, huh?
In all of healthcare. The crisis of staffing is an enormous proportion post-pandemic. There's just not, the turnover is crazy. People are busy doing all the things. And you're not answering the phone. So first, you're not answering the phone. Second, you're not scheduling. So look at how many leads that marketing has driven into your funnel that are just not even being converted because you didn't answer the phone or you didn't even, I mean, so there's tons of loss. In my estimation, we're losing, you know, we're losing, if we have a good lead, if 30% of them are lost on the not answering the phone, and let's say another 30% of them are lost because you didn't convert them. Yeah. I mean, dude.
Well, industry average. So we track this one. We track this stat. The average front desk person is going to convert about 50% of your marketing leads if you do nothing. If you just put them on the phone, no training, or even if you train them and you don't hold them accountable, around 50-60% is where they're going to fall. So yeah, you're losing the vast majority of your marketing dollars before you even get to the front door.
And yeah, so the second step is we got to convert them. We got to convert them into an appointment. And we also the important part of that is making sure they show up. So you have to have mechanisms in place in your office that are texting, emailing, calling, whatever confirmation mechanisms are
lead
there.
Nurturing, yeah.
You have to nurture that lead all the way through completion of the treatment. Otherwise, that patient's going to stop in that patient journey.
That's a big difference because it used to be, I'm a dentist, I'm going to hang my shingle, I'm going to get 50, 60, 100 new patients a month without doing anything. And you're lucky to be here. You're lucky that you got an appointment with me, right? That is gone. Those days are gone.
We're in consumer culture. It's consumerism. People have unlimited choices right at their fingertips on their phones. And they're going to just find the next person to click on and go over there. Right? So part of what Patient Prism was meant to do is provide that instantaneous alert almost within a minute of a not booking a patient and saying, hey, we had a patient who wanted Invisalign, was worth about $5,000. Here's the reason why you didn't schedule them. Why don't you call them back again and try it one more time? So our process at Patient Prism was always meant to figure out how to improve the sales enablement component of your growth. Sales enablement is marketing is driving the leads. We want to enable these people to become our customers. And without converting them to customers, we're again dead in the water because
Amal, most dentists don't think they're in the sales game at all. They don't even have a sales department or that word sales anywhere in their organization.
And I think it's not their fault. I think dental schools are not teaching them that we are all in sales. We're all
here's something interesting for you. So this is how I think through it. So in every organization, in your organization, in my organization, in almost every organization, the highest paid people are who? The salespeople.
Salespeople
make the most money. They have the most they have the most potential for earn too, right? They have huge roofs, right? Where every other position, you don't really have that per se. In dental, we not only don't have sales, but who's the first line of sales if you were going to put a sales term on a certain job? It's going to be the front desk. Where does the front desk fall in the pay scale in the dental office? They're the lowest paid people. Yeah,
right.
A lot of times they make less than the janitor who's cleaning after hours. They're the lowest paid. And then here's the interesting thing. When you're good at the front desk, let's say you hire somebody, you get them in and they're just amazing at the front desk. What does every dental office do right away? They move them. They say, oh, you're too good to be at the front desk. We got to put you in billing. We got to put you at treatment coordinating. We got to put you at all these other positions. And the fascinating thing is while every other organization is clawing and scrapping and paying the most money for their salespeople, dental is paying their first line salespeople the least amount of money. And they also move them if they're any good at their job.
And they're giving them more responsibilities to do. Oh, yes. Why don't you call the insurance companies? Why don't you check them out? Why don't you do this? Yeah. And you're paying them $15 an hour. That's not a wage today that anybody can survive, right? If you're not overpaying all your team members and leading them through a great environment, you're going to have 50% turnover. You know how much turnover in the front office is 50% today in all of dentistry. Why? Because number one, we're underappreciating, underpaying, undervaluing our most important people that are our salespeople. And that has to happen, right? And the part of the reason, and we know this because we on a daily basis, we measure conversions, right? We measure sales product, sales efficiency, sales effectiveness every single day, every single phone call, and we see it. We see it, and part of it's we have to hire the right people. Part of it, we got to train them, and we got to pay them well. And that's going to be the process of moving the patient forward.
Yeah, I've been working a lot in full arch around this particular subject, and it's like these organizations, they don't know how to close treatment. Even the big ones, a lot of big ones, they have these, they see 10 patients and they think it's good when two of them accept treatment. It is not like dental so far behind on this because sales hasn't been part of the process for so long. And then the other thing of all that I've seen, nobody uses financing as a tool. Like people don't use financing as a tool. I know some people do, but very few people do. They say, yes, we have the softwares to do patient financing, but they don't use them effectively. And if offices just started doing that alone, would make a huge difference in the amount of people who get treatment and are able to afford it.
It's such an afterthought, right? Financing is an afterthought. Yep. It's really not. You have to lead with it. You have to lead with the fact the patient is going to not be able to afford it. Or you have to lead them to the, when you're leading the horse to the water, you have to tell the horse that the water is going to be amazing. And here's a way you drink it. You got to give them some tools to be able to drink the water. And financing is, there's no better tool than financing to be able to get the patients like, hey, once you have told them that, by the way, we've got the best doctor who is going to be the best clinician, it's going to not cause them a lot of physical pain. And by the way, it's not going to cost them an arm and a leg, and it's going to be very affordable to them. Patient basically is almost ready, right? Then it's just a matter of like identifying what the deal is. And if you've identified it, the patient's going to accept most of the time because no patient wants to be in bad health. No patient wants to have more pain. No patient wants to, you know, not improve themselves in whatever way that we're trying to improve their life. So I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. What else should people be thinking through for their offices? What else? What other frameworks are you thinking through?
Patient Prism. We talked about the marketing framework. That's important, and we kind of look at that now from an AI perspective. Like, hey, lead quality, lead quantity, patient acquisition costs, super important. You've done tremendous work in this field as well, and we'd love to collaborate with you on that as well. It's like, hey, let's make sure that we're bringing the right people. Sales is important on the phone, but it's also important that not that we deal with it, but your case acceptance has to be spot on. Your communication, training, whatever you're using to get cases accepted, that's important. But the biggest thing that I've learned, Gary, running Patient Prism and something that we designed parts of our platform to identify is what operational difficulties are you facing that are preventing the patients from coming in? So let's assume marketing, they have a marketer like you, they drive in the lead. Let's say you have a good salesperson at the front. They are very good at talking on the phone, and they make the patient feel good and trust, you know, win their trust. But guess what? Your next appointment is in January. Your next appointment is January. And this is right now in the middle of October. Right? Yep. Everything is great. Everything is there. Lead perfect, cost per lead, salesperson is perfect. And it's like, yeah, we can book you that's it. What are the chances of patients showing up? Very small. So in my view, if you don't have capacity today, if you can't get the patient in within a week at the most two, obviously emergencies, you got to get them in right away. But or endo or emergencies, right? But let's say somebody comes in and they have decided after months or years of procrastination that they're going to straighten their teeth. At that point, we're living in Instagram generation. Okay? They're not going to wait 2 months, 1 month yep. to come in. They want it now.
They're also not going to put up with your front desk when they say, hey, how much is it for clear aligners at your office? I'm sorry, we don't answer those kind of questions on the phone. All right, peace. It's not like you, it used to be you could get away with that because everybody would say that. But now there's people who don't say that. And so you're going to get, you just lost the new patient. They're gone.
So if there was one thing that people would say, what is the one thing that dental offices, DSOs should be thinking about the most in 2023 and 2024 is creating capacity, is allowing, because there's plenty of patients. If you hire the right marketer,
there's too many new patients. There's not enough doctors.
Yeah. And guess what though? Guess what I hear? We need more new patients. Well, the dichotomy in this conversation is you need new patients. You ain't got no room to put those patients anywhere. Your schedules are so in a way where somebody has to wait months to get it just a consult.
Yep.
So Part of what we do at Patient Prism now is provide a report in real time that allows you to see all the reasons why patients don't book an appointment. Is it capacity? Is it insurance? Is it just they just hung up because they just got frustrated talking to you? Is it price, right? Is it price? And guess what? What you said earlier makes so much sense. About 30% of patients today are not scheduling an appointment because they think they cannot afford it. They think they can afford it, but they think they cannot.
Yeah, nobody's broken it down for them on how to do it. And that's the dental officer's job, is to figure that out.
A simple conversation, like, we have many patients like you that are out of network that we help a lot. We work with amazing patient finance companies, and we can make this available to you at as low as $199 to whatever a month. But we have never had a patient who came into our office, refused treatment because money was a concern. We always make it possible for people to afford the treatment that we give you.
That's so
simple.
Good.
And it doesn't have to be anything more special than that. And when you, but again, we are, and so that's what I see, right? The reason why we have really been effective, especially in 2023 with DSOs, is we are saying that, yes, you need to grow, but you need to grow and you need to make sure you figure out what is preventing you from growing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's all three things. Most of the time people are not even measuring. Marketing effectiveness today is absolutely not measured 99% of the time. People don't even know these metrics. Yep. The stuff that you talk about all the time, cost per lead, cost per acquisition.
No one knows.
Those concepts are only in Gary Birdland right now, for the most part.
Yeah, I totally agree.
They are. Yeah. Because people don't know. They don't know.
Yeah. Amal, if someone wants to reach out to you and get help with some of this stuff, what's the best way to get in contact with Patient Prism and yourself?
I think they should visit our website, www.patientprism.com, and schedule a demo, because that's all we care about. Schedule a demo and let's diagnose where you are in the journey for growth, right? Where are you? If you're growing at 5%, you want to grow at 10%, let's figure out how to do it together, right? It has to be a partnership between marketing, sales, and operations. And let's make sure we have a conversation about growth. How much do you want to grow next? 10%? Okay, well, there is a way to do that.
Yeah. Right?
People have figured out how to do that.
Yep.
It's just a matter of measuring the right things and getting the right systems in place so that you can do this on autopilot.
That's awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on, Amal. This is really, really good, really helpful, and always great insight as always.
Thank you, sir.